Hello and welcome to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. If you enjoy our podcasts, please tell your colleagues and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Enjoy!
Hi there. Welcome back for the ninth COVID catch-up. I'm going to start with something non-COVID related to begin with. The death of George Floyd has had a huge impact the world over, and it is a tragic event which has had sizable repercussions. As a privileged white male who has been given sizable opportunities all his life, it's sometimes difficult to make sense of what one can do proactively to support something that actually is going on around us all the time, either explicit or implicit racism, and that we are either choosing to ignore it, although I'd like to think that that's not the case, but sometimes perhaps not seeing what is obvious to others, especially those involved who are part of discriminated communities the world over. And I was speaking to some nursing staff recently about how they felt our own department, were there things in our department that were potentially implicitly racist, or were there ways that we deal with our staff or our patients that perhaps those of us who aren't subject to some of the forms of discrimination that others may be subject to might not see or might not realise? And I was kind of pleased to hear relatively positive feedback, but there were some comments about things that we could improve on, and that there are things that can be done, I think, everywhere to enable those who are not subject to some of the discrimination that does occur to open their eyes, call it out, stand out for what is right, and perhaps that George Floyd's death will not have been completely in vain. And I think it would be perverse to make an analogy between kind of coronavirus and the events that have just occurred. But I do think now is a time of a fundamental change. And in the same ways that we are completely redrawing health service maps, perhaps now is the time to look at the way we treat our colleagues, the way we treat our wider community. And I do hope we move forwards as either individuals or departments or as organisations, that we can improve the way that we treat all members of our community, regardless of their background, skin colour, or kind of social status. So in regards to COVID itself, we continue to plough through increasingly vast amounts of evidence, of case reports, of case series, of studies that are observational in nature. There are, unfortunately, very rarely randomised control trials in children, but the evidence continues to suggest the same thing, that children are only mildly affected, and even those with relatively profound comorbidities are not at huge risk, greater than kind of normal risk factors that we see in other diseases. There continues to be a debate about infectivity, and while there are a mixed amount of studies in terms of looking at do children pass the infection on more easily to children or adults, and are children the super spreaders of disease, I think it is becoming increasingly clear children are not going to be more infectious than adults. I don't see any data that supports that at all. The jury is probably still out on kind of the relative infectivity. I support the return of children going back to school. I acknowledge, though, that the fear that that is causing in some members of our community, and I think it's important that everyone continues to be rational in their communication with others. And much like other polarising debates, I'll use Brexit as the example. that it's very easy to take a standpoint that you are right and other people are wrong. And I think that approach will get us absolutely nowhere if we are to support the wider public in moving forward, and that the healthcare community needs to do that, especially paediatricians, because I think if we are not supportive of an overall endeavour that encourages children getting back into education, then we will continue to do children wider harm. And I mean that not in the sense that of a medical sense, but there are socioeconomic, there are educational attainment, and there are other safeguarding issues, and that it is a Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health in the UK and around the world. We do talk about child health. And so as paediatricians, we need to be supportive of all aspects of a child and young person's well-being and development, not just the things that affect us directly in our clinical practice. And so that there are very few new interventions to talk about. I think in relation to dilemmas that have occurred, I think that the biggest thing remains, how are we going to move forward from a current position whereby emergency department attendance is very low, but that outpatient attendance is negligible, and that a lot of systems and ongoing support have just completely stopped, to bringing back children who have elective surgery, who need to have regular checkups, and how do we restart a system in a way that keeps people as safe as possible? And I think one of the challenges of restarting the system will be is that infections are going to start to spread again. As we bring people closer together, viruses that we've broken the chain of will reemerge. And certainly as we head towards September and October, the common winter conditions, bronchiolitis, flu, are likely to reemerge in some form. We don't know how much, and we don't know the impact that's going to have. But certainly for those of us working in acute and emergency care, there is a sense of nervousness that at the moment the status quo is fine. It is relatively easy. I say that because I work in a large department that can handle these things, that you can split a department up into blue and red, is that you can provide services between those who are potentially suspected or non-suspected. But in the winter, it will be challenging if we have a large number of suspected cases, if we're not able to completely identify those who definitely have COVID early on. It will mean that there will be mixing and waiting rooms. I suspect that will cause anxiety for parents and carers, and that anxiety will lead to sometimes anger, but just this sense of unease. And I think we all know how difficult winter is when we have, we don't need to split departments up. We don't have parents who are anxious about the other children in the waiting room. And this is a real problem. And I think we need to be starting to think now about how we're going to face a winter of real discontent. And I think while I can entirely acknowledge that adult services will be very hardly hit as well, there is going to be something uniquely challenging about dealing with families in stressful situations who may be aware that they are being pushed closer together with other families who have equally snotty-nosed children who are coughing all over the place. I don't have any immediate solutions to this, but it would be great to see people kind of suggesting them and seeing if we can move forward at a debate either via this podcast or maybe future webinars that Don't Forget the Bubbles have been hosting. Thanks for your time, and thanks as always for listening. See you soon.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. Remember, you can subscribe to our feed on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you for listening.